many things that come to mind concerning the lessons that are to be drawn for a Jewish sailor, and what this portion signifies and means in the sequence of Jewish history, that it becomes difficult to confine oneself within the framework of a brief lecture. It should be taught at length, taking into consideration very, very many aspects involving the various Jewish communities that were destroyed in this Churban. European Jewry, both in the western portion of Europe and in Eastern Europe, which was the center, the nerve center of world Jewry as far as my meaning, men of faith are concerned, and to be able to analyze from each one of the communities swallowed up in that sea of suffering, to take from that what we should be able to take along for future generations. In view of the fact that the tragedy encompassed so great an area, it's very difficult to confine oneself to a brief lecture. We will try, however, to draw forth some general consideration from the overall picture of this tragedy, what it represented and what it means in the continuity of Jewish life from Sinai and prior to that, until Bias Haguyah. We have to realize, first and foremost, that we have to look at the Churban through the perspective of Emunah. It's a totally different perspective than that of those who look to it, through a perspective of secularization, who see history in general through a secular perspective. The Jew of faith sees history as a manifestation of the will of Hashem Yisroch. All that takes place in history is merely what Hashem wishes to impress us with. And so for us, the approach to history, to historical fact, is that Poshut in Torah, Zechor Yemois Olam, Binu Shnois Doer V'Doer. If you wish to remember the days of yore, you must decide to delve into and understand in the perspective of Torah, what generation to generation means. And Chazal tell us that Kor Yemos Olam means go back to the origin of history. Go back to the 6 days of creation. And from there you will be able to draw the inspiration necessary in order to be able properly to observe what are Shnois Doer V'Doer down through the ages. This is the perspective of the man of faith, of the Munah of faith. Outside of the ramifications of the Zechor Yemos Olam, history becomes a conglomerate effect open to the interpretation of every individual as he sees fit. And so, this is not the way a Torah Jew is to approach a tragedy of such dimensions as the Churban represents. When you begin to think upon the very term of Emunah, you begin to realize that the English word used for that is very misleading. We speak about faith. The word Emunah comes from the root of Omon, trustworthiness, reliability, Bonim Emun Bon. A person must have a trustworthiness. He must be one who can be relied upon if he wishes to understand things properly. And you gain reliability in the framework of Judaism only if it's founded upon Torah. Beyond that, what man himself will decide for himself is totally unreliable. We are limited in our capacity. We can't see through to the end of things. The only one who sees to the end of things is he who has created all these things. And he has given us his insight into things, into creation, in Sefer Torah Hashem, in faith. And therefore, in order to be a person, someone who can be relied upon, we can only look upon history through the viewpoint of faith. There is another meaning in Emunah. Emunah means, Miloshen Omon, pedagog, to be brought up, to be raised. As a mother, as a father, as a nurse, raises and brings up the child in her care. B'nei Emunah, people of faith of Emunah, are those who realize that they are brought up and raised, sustained and nurtured through Hashem Yisrael. That's what Emunah refers to. So for a person of Emunah, there can be only one approach to understanding anything in history, and certainly so great a tragedy as represented in the Quran. We know that many say that they have questions to ask. How could it be? Where is there a God? Could there be a God? A lot of other such foolish questions. I think the same should be true if someone who has never studied medicine would suddenly decide that he has a question to ask. How come he took this certain drug and he had a terrible side effect? I don't believe in medicine. It's not a science, it's worthless. A doctor would tell him you're a fool. You never studied the science of medicine. You know nothing of medicine. And you ask questions. And because you, the ignoramus, have no answer, therefore you decide and you make your own decision. And yet when it comes to matters of Emunah, we do accept what the ignorant say, and what their opinion is becomes the approach to history. But that's due to the fact that HaKol B'Shamayim Chutz M'Yirat Shamayim. Everything is ordained by heaven, except the fear of heaven, belief in Hashem Yisrael. Were that to be ordained, there would be nothing left for us. And so since this is not ordained, and it is we who must through free volition decide to act in accordance with Torah, Therefore, all foolishness becomes wisdom. And all stus vehevel becomes intellectualism. To the mining, to the one who believes, there is no such thing as I don't believe because I have questions to ask. As Chaim Volozhin said long ago to one of his Talmidim, who left the folds of the Munich, and he asked him, he couldn't see how come? He told him, he said, Rebbe, for Kachis, I have unanswerable questions. So he said, no, my son, you don't have questions, you have truths, you have answers. You don't like the idea of the duties and the burden of Yiddishkeit imposed upon you by Torah. You don't like the duties of Emunah imposed upon you. And so you have to apologize for that and find reasons for that. And your reasons become your passion. You find answers to be able to live in peace with yourself. When in truth, you are at battle with yourself. There are no questions that are unanswered. Is then man unfathomable? Is then man limitless? Are then our intellectual capacities beyond reproach? Is it then true that what we don't understand is non-existent? We'd be fools to say so. The Jew of faith says differently. Garantiele, the gates are modest, later on, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I do not fear evil. Why? Ki atoi modi, because you, O God, are continual and at all times with me. Whether the child understands that his father is with him or not is not of significance at all. The fact is that were the father not leading his child through the mire, he'd never get through. Be it gates or moments so dark, without light, without answers, but I always know the absolute motive. You are with me. Were it not for that, we would have been lost from the face of history long ago. We would long ago have become fossils, as that great British historian Toynbee would like us to be. And so the hack is him. We continue to live, and we refuse to become fossils. Only because he asked for him. That's the way a Jew of Emunah approaches all facets of living. Whether they be moments of Chesed Hashem and Rachmei Hashem, whether they be moments of mercy and loving kindness, or whether they be moments of mishpot and din, of the judgment of Hashem Yisborah, in bringing what we may think is punishment upon humankind. One of the great rabbis who lived during the period of the Holocaust, who was lost to it together with all the others, sent a telegram here to Baal HaTzoreth during those years, and he said in the telegram that for those who ask, there are no answers, but for those who believe, there are no questions. There was a great what is the package, and there was a package behind the treaty. He wrote that from the valley of the shadow of death. I'm very enjoying the most nicest, more in that. This is the perspective for the moon. Now you may think that this kind of a perspective means that we are emotionally unstable. And we have been accused of that long, long ago. Analgesic are very unstable people, emotionally unstable. What's wrong with us? That you not have an issue. The good Lord came and gave them a prayer. And he said, I want to give you a prayer. So Jew said, Master, we'll perform anything you tell us. And then we'll wait to have you tell us what your interest in is. That's the most foolish thing in the world. First ask, what is it you want of me? Then I'll be able to determine. Am I able to fulfill it? Am I able to perform it or not? Anyone who says Nas is before Nishma, something is emotionally wrong with it. It's an out of disease. What does the Rabbi say? Rabbi said, it's not instability. Too much you showing country. The innocent are guided and led through that innocence which stems from Yeshua, from the fact that we are straight-minded. What does that mean? Kohelet said, Eritim Oso Eso Odom Yosef. Hashem Yisborach created man straight, without any crookedness whatsoever. Not to right, not to left. Straight as a rod. That's the way he was created. And that gives innocence to a person. If he lives by that straight-mindedness, if he doesn't want, through human considerations, through human fallacies and foibles, to ruin that straightness, to turn it crooked, then he is led straight throughout life. He must be shot in fallacy. But what happened? The Hemel Dikshu, Chishvenich Rabbi. Humankind seeks human consideration. We need to do, not enough, what the good Lord has done for us. We have to add something of our own. We have to put our 2 cents into the bargain. What happens from that? Then we deviate. We're no longer straight. And once you deviate, so then, just when I call them, why do you say not at first? Find out what he wants from you and see whether they're able to do it. But when one walks in the innocence of the straightness of Hashem, one realizes that Hashem is Borah and Yabobi Kluyim in the Yisrael. He's not a tyrant. He won't ask me to do what I'm unable to perform. And if he says do it, no matter what it's going to be, it means that he who has created me has determined that it's within my capability to be able to perform. That's what Yashu sees as a person. But where a time of Bitshu Hishvayna is, then Seraph breaking is shutting. Man becomes self-destructive by the very falseness which he himself created for himself. And so false does one become, so great does the Sheker become, that when one is confronted with the light of truth, he says that's emotional instability. I'm a disease. And so we need not be overwhelmed by what secularists want to see in viewing the Churban, just as we should never become overwhelmed and influenced by all their interpretations of Jewish history down through the ages. Those interpretations which refuse to recognize that in history we see Ma'asei Yodav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the acts of Hashem Yisborach. But what should strike us is to the contrary. Not why did Hashem do it? We should have questions much closer to our fathom of understanding. What is Western culture? What is Western civilization? Didn't they perpetrate this churban? Who did it? Nazi Germany. What was Germany? The center of Western culture. University of Berlin. University of Heidelberg. And all the others. Centers of European culture. For centuries. And they didn't do it alone. Not only Germany. Were the Romanians better? Were the Hungarians better? Were the Poles better? The Lithuanians? The Latvians? The Estonians? All the same. Where is Western culture? Where are Western morals? Where are Western ethics? Those were the ones who did it actively. And the rest did it passively. What did America do about it? Intergedenchte America. It's a country that we owe a lot of appreciation to. There's never been a country so kind to Jews. But how did they react? They didn't know what was happening? Untrue. They knew they had definite reports of all the concentration camps, of all the death camps. They knew exactly where they were located. But they turned their eyes sideways. They had it even. Okay, let someone else do the job for us. Did anyone ask, where was the loving kindness and mercy of that religion of love in the papal seat of Rome? What did they do about it? Not only passively, but actively engaged in it. Wasn't one of their bishops in Slovakia a part of the Nazi regime? Who murdered thousands upon thousands of Jews? Wasn't the Bishop of Krakow, that same Israel, who when Jews came to him to ask for some protection, he said, you killed our Savior. This is Western culture. This is Western civilization. That's closer to home. That's the secular world that we're always impressed with. Where were they? How do men, human beings, turn into animals? Doesn't that question bother anyone? Is there an answer to it? Why don't people rebel against all this culture? Why don't they deny its veracity? Why aren't universities closed down? The hotbeds of all this. No question that. There's a mooning in that Western culture. There's belief in Western culture. And where there is belief, you don't ask questions. Where there is no belief, that's the question. Let's then take it home to ourselves. If we ask questions and we sometimes emit from our mouths, no answer, who is within the Danish Elohim? We should immediately begin thinking, why don't I ask the same question about those hotbeds of Western culture, wherein it all grew, wherein it all developed, and continues to develop. Why don't we ask questions about the military academies in this country? Why don't we ask questions about universities in these countries, in this country, where lectures on anti-Semitism are propagated? It can disturb Western culture. We rise up in protest against the goy who says something against Jews. And we forget that we're in Golas. We're fools. We remove totally the Jew of Emunah is removed totally from where he should be standing. And where he should ask questions, there he doesn't. And where he should not be asking questions, that's where he does ask. There's another lesson to be learned from this tragedy. It's not merely the lesson of the total bankruptcy of the secular world, of the free Western world. There's another lesson that we have to learn. That lesson is an important fundament in Emunah. Let Tiganti Eilek be Gates al Modis. That poor Jew, and that's why not all who went through the Enoch Haboko are those who say, has he shown there was no God? But many came out strengthened, fortified through the burning furnace of Hun. Why is that? Because where there is a man, one meets Hashem Yisborah under all conditions. And I repeat again what I have said so many times, a lesson that I was privileged to learn from my teacher and mentor, the Tzadik Rov, the Tzadik Rov. Is a prophet. Hashem Yisborah has designated an appointed time for the purpose of breaking down my best. And from that portion is derived the deen that on Tisha B'Av, the day of Shvirat Ma'udot, we don't say Tachin, because it's Moed, the same as all the Yom Tovim. It's the most difficult thing to understand. Yom Tov is Asimcha. Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. These are days of Simcha, where we meet with Hashem Yisborah in the elation of knowing that we're able to enjoy His goodness. You don't say Tachin on such days. The day of national mourning, when we keep reminding ourselves over and over again of the fact that we are not what we were, that we've lost what we had, and we're left only with hope for a glorious future, then we should say Tachin. And the Rav Zichron Livracha pointed out this eternal lesson that in walking through life you meet Hashem Yisborah in two manners. He manifests himself to us in two ways. Sometimes the Moed, the appointed hour of meeting with Hashem Yisborah, the hour of communion, is sometimes in Simcha, joy and elation. And sometimes it's inside that always we meet Him. When we are worthy of His goodness, we meet Him in Simcha. When we are unworthy of His goodness, we meet Him inside. A child has a father not merely to tell him, oh, what a wonderful son you are. He has a father to smite him with the rod, because you're doing what's not proper. And woe unto that child who would wish himself to be an orphan, because then no one could smite him. They to Adam was these of Dinah. It's the greatest privilege to have that father who smites me when I have to be smitten. If it's Lishbur Bahurim. That in itself is an appointment that Hashem is for us. And when you stand in His strength, and in His presence that so uplifts us that there can be no place for the same attack. This is what a Jew of the moon, what a mining field, if we ask you, shall I put only Jerusalem sin? Only Klal Yisrael sin, the Ummah Yisraelim, and all the nations of the world, did they not sin? And the answer is a most enlightening one. Certainly they sin. But Yishalayim Chotor the Leiko. Yishalayim, when it sins, it is smitten, it is punished. The Ein Chaitim, the Ein Leiko. We are a father! He smites when it is necessary. He must have alone, don't stand in proximity with that father. And so they do many things, let them live their life. That's the glory of Klal Yisrael. Chet Choto, only Yerushalayim. Only we are asked to answer for ourselves. And the greater the Churban, the greater the Jews involved in the Churban. We see greatness not merely through loving kindness, to be worthy of its kesed. We see the greatness of Klal Yisrael in the Chet Choto of the Moichi. Only the great are worthy of that. Schmeißen, schmeißen noch tiefer. That's the greatness of Providence. And when we see this, when we become aware of this, then it becomes a fount of strength, of courage, of hope, and of conviction. That there will be glorious moments of chesed, of good. The whole problem of Jewish history is a continual change from ghost to gula, from gula to ghost. Where are the nations not to have committed his head? Mankind would have immediately enter into the Ura permanently. So he did see it. He did commit faith. So it then became necessary to have a period of life, followed by death, and then see a salvation once again recognized. This is represented through the entire continuity of Jewish history. Goes back to heaven. Still, we haven't arrived at the teaching, at the perfection. We haven't cleansed ourselves of where we once fell from. So it leads to another goal. Until finally, there will be that Gula, which will return Klal Yisrael to what mankind was originally ordained to be, other nations in the Mashiach. And so when we see ghosts, and when we see all the tzad, all the tragedy contained in this ghost, it inspires us with the hope and with the conviction that there is a great morrow that will shine the sun of the Ulus. And that is a glorious out. The Tiva and his colleagues went up to the Harabais and they saw Shuol Yosei
Kodesh HaKodoshim. They saw an animal, a fox, coming out from that location where once there stood the Kohen Gadol once a year to bring expiation for a Klal Yisrael, to bring them into the presence of Hashem Yisbarach, so that they might feel, Borim Atem Hashem Elokeichem, we and only we are the children of a great Father. From that place now, it lies in destruction. Wild animals roam therein. And so his colleagues broke down in tears. And the Rebbe said to them, why do you cry? He said to him, they answered, how can we not weep? This Holy of Holies has now become the domain of animals. And the Rebbe said, that's why I am full of laughter, but full of sleep. That just as this promise and forewarning of Hashem Yisbarach has become fulfilled before our eyes, and we see that the word of prayer and the word of the prophet is true beyond any semblance of doubt, because every item in the Churban, the Churban Bayis Rishon, the Churban Bayis Sheni, and all this long verse, which is a part of Churban Bayis Sheni, every item, every iota of Churban, was totally mapped out in two parshas of the Torah Kodesh, in the Kukosai and in Kisovei. Kukosai speaks of Churban Bayis Rishon, Kisovei of Churban Bayis Sheni, and the picture of Churban written in the Torah, far greater than that Churban that we've lived through, even though so great is the tragedy. And everything that has happened down through the ages is recorded therein, and we've been forewarned. This is what will take place. So that if Peter says, if we see before our eyes the fulfillment of those words, are we then not convinced of the truth of Torah? Do we not see that every word of Torah is truth alone? This be so, then I see before myself not this Churban. I do not see the roaming place of wild animals. I see here a Beis Hamikdash rebuilt. I see here a Klal Yisrael return. I see here Tehillim Mishpat Tipoleh B'Shaveh B'Shtocho. This is what I see, and therefore I'm overjoyed. This is what I'm finding. See the tragedy. This is the perspective of a Jew. And in order to see this properly, it is necessary that we learn the dimensions of this last Churban, that we become acquainted with it, to know what these communities were, to know what a Polish Jewry represented for nearly 1,000 years, what it meant for Torah, what it meant for Yiddishkeit, to know what a Vichnisha Judentum represented, to know what a Hungarian Judentum represented, what Romanian Jewry gave to us, to know these communities and to realize what was destroyed, to realize what we possess in order to know how great was the loss. And from the knowledge of the loss, the consciousness, to gain an awareness to the truth of faith. Through this aspect of Churban, to learn and see what was faith in the Chukesai Kisovei really. It was there in Churban Bayis Sheni when the Romans did the job. It was there in Kishinev. It was there in Beit HaTzfat. It was there in Ahitra. You out to these parshas ha'ere that were elaborated a bit more in the Hebrew being HaKadoshim. He spoke in their glowing, burning terms of what Yerushalayim means and what its law means. And you see this truth. Then you shall become inspired with that font of Emunah. Realize here the truth. And therefore there's no question at all. Just as this has been fulfilled, and nothing is missing, so also shall there be fulfilled all the words of Tereh about the Emunah. All the wonderful nevuahs of the Nevi'im HaKadoshim about the Emunah. And that's why throughout Tereh, throughout Novi, Churban and Yehuda go together. The chastisement of the Novi against sin and crime, speaking of Churban, goes hand in hand with the Chomet of the Emunah. And the dear witness to the Tekochet, every word of it is true, there's no question in our mind that the Yehuda of sin is greater. To be witnessed, to be innocent in the heart. These are the prime lessons that a Jew of the Emunah has to draw forth from this period of Jewish history. And not merely from this period alone, from this last Churban. There are many Churbanot in Jewish life. Many. And we cannot and we dare not view this Churban as the Churban. This is a final aspect, let us hope, of the process of Churban and Geulah, leading us to what we all hope for. That final alignment of the Yeshiva Yisrei Emunah, the Yeshiva HaMashiach. Even though he be delayed, Ahavi Yisraneya, Achat Eloi, nevertheless am I filled with that hope. Which hope? The Chol Yom Shiyom. That every day is a day that he may come. Not only do I hope every day that he will come, but every day is a day worthy of his coming. That's what Emunah to the Jew of Emunah means. And it is this Emunah that we are required to draw forth from this great tragedy of Churban, Churban of European Jewry. Shouldn't look at it in the form of statistics. You have to look at it and understand it in depth. What were these Tehillim? What did they contribute to the eternity of Klal Yisrael? How much was lost by their destruction? And from there to understand that we must be full of hope. That hope goes along with the conviction that we must do something about it. We must be the ones to bring forth Beisarach in this Morah, the final Geula, in following the dictates of prayer, in not being influenced by secular approaches to problems of Jewish life, but to realize that there's only one approach to anything and everything. And not merely in Jewish life, but to all of life, to the entire cosmos, the only approach is here. To strengthen our lives in Torah observance, to see to it that the men in Jewish life study prayer daily. Women here, drive your men to the study of prayer. That's what brings forth Yehudah. That's what saves from Churban. Saves from being influenced by alien influences. Strange from Torah ideals. And we shall apply ourselves in this manner to the life of a Jew, to the perspective of Torah, filled with the awareness of Emunah, overwhelmed with the hope and the conviction, then certainly, Beis HaShem Yitzvorach, he will realize. He has to pivot and take him the main owner.